Thank you. I guess Glenn or somebody could help, just a quick roll call who's on the call, because I also don't have the login for the conference view.
Edmund, it's Gisela. I'll do a quick roll call for you. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's IDMG call on Wednesday, the 21st of April. We have Edmund Cheung, Avery Doria, Gary Karp, Chuck Gomes. From staff, we have Glenn de Saint-Géry, Julie Headland, Olof Nordling, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies from Adrian Kinderis. And if we could just please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Edmund.
Thank you. So for this meeting, I'll try to use less R and M's, but that seems to be my problem. So the only real agenda on the call is to take a look at what we should do next. A couple of documents were proposed previously, one on the confusingly similar string, basically a statement back to the council, and also a document that was essentially nobody seems to like, which is to suggest the creation of a working group to address that issue as well as specifically on IDN. So I'd like to actually focus more on the issue itself, the confusingly similar string, and what, if any, should we report back to the GNS Council, GNSL Council, and then whether we should also recommend some next steps. I did see Avery's very long email. Because I was running around later in the afternoon today, I haven't had the chance to read through all of it. So if it's okay, can I ask Avery maybe to speak to that so I'm up to speed on that, and we can go from there and start the discussion. Does that make sense for everyone?
That's fine.
Yes. Okay. And I guess everyone can just because we don't have a lot of people on the call, I think everyone can just jump in and speak. In case we get into a chaotic situation, we'll take a cue.
Okay, hi. So I guess you want me to start? First of all, I apologize for being such a long mail. As you know, I really try to write short ones. Sometimes I find, I guess, they're a little too short. But this one, just to work it all out, to say what I was trying to say, and hopefully I said it intelligibly, you know, it ended up taking a lot of words. So first of all, I wanted to reiterate that what I wrote there was my opinion, though I have vetted it with the NCSG and the NCUC, and I've gotten that, you know, comments are basically very trademark issue-oriented, sort of saying I don't go far enough, and I have asked the NCSG to basically work on producing, and this doesn't really relate to this group, but work on producing a, you know, freestanding statement on where the stakeholder group views this issue. First of all, I also admitted that, you know, in terms of looking at things, I believe that there are senses in which both Chuck and I are making correct arguments. He is right when he says there is nothing in there that says visual confusability is the only one, which is a statement I get pretty close to having made in at least one email. I believe that I am also correct in having said, and there's nothing that says confusability based on meeting is definitely one of the criteria that will be used. And then basically I go into trying to explain why I believe that visual confusability is indeed the primary one we're dealing with, and basically base my argument on the fact of it is the one that almost no one that I can find disagrees with. Almost none of the documents that get referred to say, you know, there's any question about visual, though there are indeed issues about how one determines when a string would be similar to another in a confusing way or likely to cause confusion. So basically, I'm treating that one as having a special status because there is no disagreement on it. And I think that it is rightly reflected in the nature of the draft application guide, as I understand it. And I apologize for my, you know, since we do get into criticizing other people's speech defects, I apologize for the stuttering that I get into sometimes when I'm talking to anyone that offends. So basically, I believe it has a primacy because it's something that we all agree on. I believe that the DAG does reflect that in making that one the one that is tested for in the initial evaluation. Going on to all the other possible reasons that there may be for confusion, I basically sort of say, yes, there are many. There's a wide, it could be, you know, anything from freedom of expression reasons to they sound the same, to perhaps meaning, and getting into a very complex issue of what it means to be confusingly similar and what it means to that. And I argue that the council took no position on any of these specific reasons, but basically put in the whole notion of making an effect on somebody withstanding, i.e. the person that already has that GTLD or another who's applying for a similar one, someone withstanding saying, you know, I think that this is likely to cause confusion because its meaning is the same as mine. And so I don't deny that that's certainly a valid reason for making an objection, but there's many, many valid reasons for making an objection, and the council did not adjudicate in any way which of those was legitimate, which of those wasn't. It's up to the objector, and it's up to the evaluation panel to determine, was this a valid objection? And then if people don't like the evaluation panel, I'm sure there's trademark courts of law and everything else to make final determinations on such things. So that's why I say that these have a different status. Now,
Carrie ask a question?
Sure.
Please.
Without suggesting of graphic similarity being something that we all agree upon. I mean, that this is right at the top of the list. There's no way to turn that into objective criteria. I mean, anything visual is literally in the eye of the beholder. And there are distinctions that there's a cultural dependency on this. Someone familiar with a script is going to regard as distinctive graphic nuance that somebody unfamiliar with the script won't even notice. So ultimately, every single request does have to be assessed on its own merit. And given that, why all the fuss about some prescriptive, prescriptive framework when ultimately everything is going to be, as you say, up to some panel to assess?
Well, I don't...
Avi, just want to clarify one thing. Just, Carrie, the discussion here, I think, you know, just as a background, we're not trying to re-discuss this whole confusingly similar in a situation, but I think one of the main reasons that this came up was the situation where the same registry is applying for a confusingly similar string, potentially an IDN string that is confusingly similar to the existing TLD, whether it's existing now or existing in the future. And for that particular issue, the DAG, in my view and some others, it's unclear, and that was the background of bringing this up. I do believe, you know, what you mentioned, that each case should be looked into is important, but the issue is right now the DAG seems to be prohibiting even any applicant to apply for a confusingly similar string.
Yes, but what determines that threshold criterion? I'm going to apply for something that I don't think looks at all like a pre-existing string, so here's my application, and then that needs to be assessed. Or is there supposed to be some pre-application judgment that's going to be applied to this, and if so, on what objective criteria? I'm saying that it looks like something else is as subjective can possibly be. So, I mean, how does this get objectified? for the benefit of the prospective applicant.
Right. I guess my point is that regardless of what that process is, when it hits a point where it's being assessed, and it's being assessed and, you know, it's found to be confusingly similar, then what?
And
because right now it says it's prohibited.
Right. If I can get back to that.
Okay, sure.
Right. One place where I do think we have an issue that I think Carrie starts to point at, and this is one that we may want to pass on to the council, is there is an initial evaluation. From my understanding and my reading, and of course, you know, staff should certainly correct me if I'm misunderstanding this, that initial evaluation, which includes both tools and evaluating panels, I believe, is primarily initially on a complex of factors that indicate a visual confusability, and it's experts and it's whatever. Now, one of the things that seems to be missing is on most things when you lose in an initial evaluation, you have an opportunity to ask for an extended evaluation and sort of say, hey, you know, you guys judge this as similar, but I don't think it's similar, for example, in Carrie's example, or in the example of this work group, yeah, I know it's similar, but I already have the one that it's similar to, so that makes it not a problem. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not judging whether it is. But at the moment, there is an initial evaluation. It seems to me that initial evaluation is being deemed primarily, if not completely, on the visual basis. But, yes, there is a panel involved. And if you fail that one, as far as I can tell, you're dead in the water. Then there's the later set of things, the more, you know, amorphous set of conditions that are only brought up if there's an objector to say, hey, because of the meaning of this, I believe that this would be, you know, confusing or likely to cause confusion. Therefore, I request that it be blocked. Now, in that case, obviously, if it's the GTLD registry that's got the current one and they're applying for the one that it's similar to, they're not going to object. No one's going to have standing to object. So that one can sail through without any real problem. The only problem falls in the ones that may get blocked because of some visualness or whatever other criteria are in the initial. So that was really the point I was trying to make.
Can Carrie ask another question?
Please go ahead.
Okay. One of the really thorny issues that attaches to the fast track at this moment is the situation where a request has been made for two what are different strings that are visually identical, not just confusable, but absolutely identical, that there is a sequence of Unicode, a displayed label that can be generated by two separate strings of Unicode code points, sets of Unicode code points. Yeah. And these are being applied for in parallel, and the terminology we're describing, parallelness and sameness, is causing infinite anguish. But let us assume, simply for the sake of argument, that the board tomorrow decides that there will be a situation where two identical strings are put forward as legitimate, and they were requested by the same entity, so that entity is obligated to somehow articulate policies about how these two zones are going to be operated in tandem. Okay. What happens if that goes through and then some other CC fast track applicant comes along and says, I only requested one string, but I note that the duplicate string that's been requested by one of our colleagues equates exactly to an orthographic situation that we have in our country, so we would now like to request the visually identical but different sequence of code point strings as an additional label for RTLD. Nobody in their right mind would dream of saying that that's an illegitimate request because it was made in two stages rather than simultaneously. So once these issues have been sorted out on the CC side, which they have to be, how does the wisdom generated by that process not immediately impact the GTLD instantiation of all of this?
If I can give an answer, that was one of the things that I bundled in with the issue that if the council decides to take up this topic of how you treat this situation, they have to take that situation that, you know, has been coming under the synchronicity name and other names within the CCNSO issue. Indeed, if you say that they are identical at the top level, how are you dealing with the second level so that you haven't introduced confusion there and all sorts of other issues? So, yeah, I have sort of argued that if the council takes this issue up, they have to take it up with that sub-issue.
Right, and I think Carrie and Abby, you mentioned. I'm happy that you mentioned this item, and that's also one of the reasons why I'm wary about Avery when you say that we can depend on some extended evaluation, because this whole synchronized IDN CCTLD thing came about because of what is termed a glitch in the implementation plan. Even though the situation was well anticipated in the policy process, it still created this glitch in the implementation plan, and this is exactly the type of glitch that I'm seeing in the DAG right now. And I think we should be very clear. We should, you know, that's the reason why I think the council should send a very clear note about the issue, so that we don't hit this glitch. And it is. In a way, there could be situations which would be similar to what the synchronized IDN CCTLD is trying to address. I'm not trying to say that this statement or this process we're talking about here should include all those discussions, because that's a completely different Pandora's box in a way, but. I think the reason why I think it's important to make it clear, and even to try to make sure that the DAG actually takes care of this, rather than hoping that some extended evaluation would magically solve the issue. With no disrespect to the staff, I mean, these issues came up. But I guess the worry is that if we don't make it clear, it might create unintended glitches down the road.
Edmund, if I could correct one thing, I actually did not say that I thought extended evaluation would take care of it, because at the moment it's not one of the included issues that extended evaluation can even discuss. And yes, I guess I was indicating that if it was included as something that it would take up, then I thought that, yes, it could deal with it. But at the moment, it's not even permissible to take it up in extended evaluation, if I read correctly.
And this is all off here. Just to confirm that Avery's description is absolutely correct. There is no sort of second step. If the initial evaluation has found two strings to be confusingly similar, they are considered to be confusingly similar, and there is no appeal to that. So far, it's not an issue that can be brought up for an extended evaluation as the DAG goes right now.
So I guess, Olaf, that does mean that something needs to be done if we at all think this is an issue that needs to be addressed.
That is that would be a consequence of your drawing that conclusion and getting unanimous support for it.
Well, I'm not sure it has to be unanimous, but anyway, let me jump in.
Whether it's a glitch. Whether it's a glitch or not, I mean, that I think is also in the eye of the beholder as it stands right now.
Edmund, can I jump in?
Please, go ahead.
Let me, first of all, as I did in an email that I just sent, because I had a council meeting to chair this morning early for me, I very much appreciated Aubrey's response, because I thought it was very thoughtful and carefully prepared, and I sent a response back with a few comments, but I don't think we're too very far apart if in any significant way. The question I have is this for our discussion right now. It seems to me, regardless of what type of confusion or how confusion is measured, whether it be with visual or some other criteria, that it can't be a string can't be evaluated strictly on whatever kind of similarity is involved. The ultimate question, and Aubrey says this in her response, and I agree with it, is the ultimate question comes down to, and correct me, Aubrey, if I say this wrong, comes down to whether there's a probability of confusion. And that question in my mind, and I want to get your reactions to this, needs to be asked whatever type of similarity we're looking at. And you can't look at that strictly on a set of characters. You've got to look at a little bigger picture than that in the context of how a string is offered to see whether or not the probability of confusion exists, even in the case of visual similarity. Because, for example, there may be ways of offering .asia or .museum. I'll use those because they are actual words instead of something like .com or .net that are not in the full sense of the word. Of two museums, for example, being visually similar, but if they're both offered by Musdoma and done in a way that mitigates most of the possible confusion, then does anybody disagree that it would be okay to allow those?
This is Aubrey. I think what I've always argued, and of course where my argument fell apart because there was no extended evaluation, is that, you know, that should be something that is looked at later, that was looked at in extended evaluation where it would be flagged as no because of whatever reasons, and then one could circle back and sort of take the analysis. And because once you open up the discussion, you'd have to go rather deep because you'd have to look not only is it the same owner, but is there likely to be confusion at the second level, or do they have an implementation scheme that prevents there being confusion even at the second level, and so on. So while in principle, you know, I agree that if there is no confusion possible, that should be determined, but I don't see how that could ever be determined in an initial evaluation. That would be something that would have to come later. And that's why I flagged the problem of, you know, once kicked out, no more talking being perhaps an issue that needed to be looked into. And the least complicated solution says, you know, you have a chance for extended evaluation where any of these things can be discussed.
And maybe extended evaluation is a way to deal with this. I'm not yet there that it would be necessary in all cases. there is a panel, even on in the visual confusion check at the beginning, the initial check, that is going to have to look at these things. And what I'm saying is, if they just look, you know, rigidly at the similarity from a visual point of view in isolation without looking at the other factors, like, okay, and this one factor could be, doesn't have to be just this, that, you know, it's offered by the same registry. They're offering it in a way that really mitigates the confusion. That's not hard to look at in the application. And so why does that need to go to an extended evaluation? The question, and I think, Aubrey, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the real concern in the council's recommendation was user confusion. That's the issue. And if two visually similar strings don't have a high probability of causing user confusion, they shouldn't be disallowed.
I guess, and please, Edmund, stop me if we get too much into an on-and-on debate. I guess my issue with that is the panel that's doing the is this confusing is specialized in one sort of way. Once you take that next step and say, is there mitigation that makes this confusion not really confusion because of the way they deploy, because of synchronicity, because of whatever, is a much more complicated question that basically fits into the pattern that we see in the DAG, that if it's a question that can be cut and dried, it is initial. If it's anything complicated and hard, then it moves to extended. So that's why I would tend to sort of say, no, it shouldn't get kicked out because of that in initial, but neither should initial be geared up to take the full nuance of what's being talked about in book count.
Well, what happens if we're going to stick to the dot museum thing? Let us assume that whatever the ground rules are, we'll figure out how to submit separate compliant applications, and the Japanese committee, the Japanese National Museums Association, submits a request for a kanji representation of the Japanese word for museum. Muse Doma says that's fine by them. We've already agreed to share policy. This is the way we're going to do it. And that's no risk of visual confusion whatsoever. There's semantic identity, not semantic confusion, semantic identity. That's the whole idea with this, and that's just fine. And then the Spanish National Museums Association comes along and says, well, we want that museo. And a slightly more tenuous discussion is conducted about the risk for confusing museum and museo. And that goes through. And then the French National Museums Association comes and say, well, they want that musée. And Muse Doma thinks, oh, this is just absolutely great, which is exactly what we're going to think, simply by coordinating the order of these applications from the absolutely beyond any conceivable notion of visual confusion to situations where there might be visual confusion, but the multiple museums have been well precedented. I think this entire discussion is at a level of detail that's making so many assumptions about what's going to happen next. For goodness sake, wait till the board decides what it's going to do tomorrow about the fast-track applications, because these issues are replete there. So the reason I dialed in was because I took a look at some of the communications on the distribution list, and I've never seen so much heat being generated by something. And I don't know, it would be kind of nice to see as much light generated there as well. So I think this discussion, although in every single detail absolutely necessary and absolutely justified and legitimate, may be eased if some of the wisdom that's going to be generated during the fast track thing, most proximately tomorrow, were folded into it. And there's just all of these assumptions about an evaluation panel, what an evaluation panel is likely to do, and what constraints are going to be applied to it.
But as I understand it, in the CC fast track CCTLD case, the initial evaluation of strings has already occurred.
That's right.
And, so what,
and the protest,
so now,
a protest has been lodged about the outcome.
Right, and we're now in some sort of extended evaluation and discussion. And that's all I'm saying is I'm not trying to presuppose anything about what happens in an extended. I'm just basically saying that a second stage of discussion is where I think these things are best handled. And at the moment, there is no such second stage in our process.
Yeah, well, then why not simply argue for the need for that? I mean, Olof made mention of the fact that the ground rules are as they're being represented at this point. But there's still talk about revision of the DAG, so maybe that's exactly what this effort should be focused towards, rather than objective evaluative criteria that are applied to what are by definition subjective concepts. Noting that and seeing to it that there are multiple that evaluation is a tiered process.
Olof, can I ask you a question? In the initial evaluation with regard to recommendation 2, and in particular the visual similarity check, both in terms of the tool, the algorithm, and the panel look, are they literally just looking to see if there's visual similarity, or are they looking to see if there is a probability of confusion? If there is assuming there is a visual similarity.
They're looking at the visual similarity.
Not looking at the probability of confusion at all.
That the visual similarity would be leading to confusion, a rendering of confusing similarity.
Okay, let me make sure I'm clear. Are they looking to see if that visual similarity, assuming they determine it exists, are they going one step further to evaluate whether there is a probability of confusion because of that similarity?
Well, yes, that's the probability of confusion between the strings. They don't look beyond the strings as to who is now applying for that particular string.
But if they don't look beyond the strings, they cannot tell whether there's going to be a probability of confusion in many cases.
Now we go into a probability of confusion in a deeper sense than we have really approached it in the African guidebook.
And what I'm saying is you can't test, you can't fulfill recommendation number 2 without evaluating at least to some degree, and Aubrey, I'm with you that some of this may have to move to a later stage. I'm okay with that possibility. I don't necessarily think it has to always occur, but that's another issue. If all we're doing is checking for similarity of strings without any consideration of probability of confusion in the initial check, then we're not doing anything. We're not fulfilling recommendation number 2 that the GNSO Council recommends.
I actually would disagree.
What we do is to see, is there a risk that one would mistake one string for the other? That's what we say.
Yeah, but what about the situation where the strings... But there's the situation where multiple strings are being requested because they are identical, where confusion is being preempted by having multiple strings rather than confusion being avoided by insisting that there's only one of the candidate number.
And that's an extenuating.
Right. But that is not consideration that's taken into account right now.
And that's why Edmund raised this concern.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why I'm sort of arguing that there's a myriad number of things that might be extenuating circumstances. And as soon as we get beyond that initial visual inspection that raises a flag, I think it should raise a flag, not a prohibition, but that raises the flag and says, oh, there's more work to be done here, then you can move to something that's longer than what needs to be happening in an initial evaluation. But the other thing we have to be concerned with is slowing down the overall process because of the few applications that will require a further, longer, more in-depth bit of thought. And so the initial process has been designed, as far as I understand, to do as much as possible in a very quick, you look at this, you say yes or no. You look at that and say yes or no. And I think the yes or no is flag is up, flag is down. If flag is up, anything that flag goes up on in initial should be, you know, extended evaluation capable. But that's my own opinion separate from this topic. But if you make those initial considerations take more complex stuff into account, which Carrie is quite right about, and you're quite right about, that there could be all kinds of extenuating circumstances that make what appears to be confusing not confusing, then you've just basically overloaded initial process and made it slow the overall process down for everyone who doesn't care about just getting one string. They know it's distinctive. They know it's non-controversial. They got all the other stuff, and they just want to cruise through fast.
So, Aubrey, don't we have a point of agreement here? And I'm asking everybody, not just you, but I totally agree with you that instead of eliminating visual similarity check, should result in raising a flag.
Well, Chuck, this is Edmund. I'd like to sort of agree with that and sort of restate that. I think it seems to me that I do hear agreement that there's something to be fixed for this issue in the DAG. At least we have disagreement. Do we?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I disagree vehemently when we talk about asking the initial evaluation to do more, but I believe that all that stuff, and that's what I've been arguing since day one, all that stuff should be put into extended evaluation. And it was only when I went back to read the DAG and I was going to show you that, see, here's where it gets done, I realized that it wasn't.
Okay. So I guess I'd like to get back to that discussion because I have my thoughts as well. But building on that particular agreement, is that something that's at least okay to report back to the council and get the council to address the issue, whether making a statement back to the board or staff? Is that also agreeable?
It is with me.
Yeah, as I say, as long as we word it carefully so that we're not, you know.
Yeah, and we can all chime
okay.
in to the, you know, to the wording, because I'm not saying that we should slant it any one way, but yeah.
Okay, that's great. So we have some agreement. On the issue now, I guess two points. One on where to do the fix, and the other is, what process we should take to make that particular decision, I think. But first, I guess, sort of jumping the process, but still, I sort of disagree with Avery on the sense that that we shouldn't add a little bit more to the initial evaluation, and the reason being that in your view, it might be that there are only just a few of these. In my view, there are going to be a lot of these in the future. Imagine, even after the first round, the second round might be majority this type of situation. Like a lot of the existing and then existing TLDs looking to get an additional IDN version or a confusingly similar version. So I do not think that extended evaluation is suitable for it because, you know, we do, in my view, the frequency of this type of application would be quite high. And the other thing is that I do not agree that it should be that hard to identify a few key clearly defined requirements. And if the applicant meet a few clearly defined requirements, then the flag doesn't even get raised, and it passes initial evaluation. If it gets into a more complicated situation, actually, like what Carrie mentioned, then yes, I do agree that perhaps that should go into extended evaluation. But in cases where it's fairly simple and the same applicant is going for a TLD that's that makes a lot of sense for their community and is a confusingly similar string, and they have their policies in place to deal with that, I fail to see why that should get flagged and go into extended evaluation. I think it should go through as an anticipated normal application.
May I respond?
Sure, please.
Since I seem to be the one that's arguing this decision. First of all, I don't think we should take second round that much into account. We're supposed to do the whole process after the first round, see what kind of behaviors and trends we saw, and adjust for second round. So I don't really think the second round possibilities, I haven't stopped to think about it. You may indeed be correct. I don't think those need to be taken into account at this point. We're still trying to get the new process off the line as soon as possible, which means making as few changes to the application process as possible to fix anything that needs to be fixed. In the second case, where I think it makes it more difficult is in the visual inspection that's being done now. It's a certain kind of specialist. Now, as soon as you start adding other criteria, first of all, we have to go through a policy process that may take a while to discuss what sort of criteria we can all come to consensus on that may be good enough for this simple thing. And then once we figure that out, then the application process has to be geared up to, well, how do we get those specialists involved in the process? And they still have to sequentially come after the visual guys that are specialized. And so while you may be right and we'll learn from experience in this one, that in the next one we need to come up with yet another element in the initial evaluation sieve to try and change. You know, one of the things I keep applying to this is the requirement that was put on us in the vertical integration, which is you must suggest nothing that will slow the process down more of getting there. And that's become sort of a cardinal fixation in terms of there are tweaks that need to be made to make this thing work right, but let's not slow anything down if we can avoid it. So those would be my response to the 2 points.
Please, Olaf.
Right. May I just raise one particular flag? Because, all right, then this would be the approach that we have a number of single owner and multiple confusingly similar then, but not detrimentally confusingly similar, strings and TLDs run by that particular operator. And that's, I think we have to think about, all right, what kind of provisions would be needed then in the base agreement, in addition to the base agreement in such cases, because now presume now that they are confusingly similar, and then it's sold off. One is sold off to somebody else, and it really becomes detrimentally confusingly similar because they're run by different operators and with different different orientations or very similar orientations, and risk of actual confusion in the detrimental sense could then come as a following step. That is something that would have to be contained if we go down that path. I don't know if that was it makes sense, but I think I know what I'm trying to say, but you get my point that if then that's okay and it's confusingly similar, but that's a detrimental use confusion that results from it, well, we would have to make it safe, also future safe, in such a case.
Olaf, I think you've actually
been foreseen in the beginning.
You've just proposed the terminology that should be applied to this. We're not talking about confusable similarity. We're talking about detrimental similarity.
Well, we actually use that term in the DAG somewhere, so I didn't invent it right now. I'm too tired to invent anything.
But, I mean, the notion of detrimental probably is more amenable to quantification than is the notion of confusability. That two confusable strings are, the notion of there being two TLD labels that are visually similar is not necessarily negative. I mean, there are applications for similar strings in the fast track because they're necessary to avoid user confusion. So the question is not so much are there two strings that might be confused. It's the question is that confusability beneficial to use? Is the duality of the labels beneficial to users or potentially harmful? That's the key issue.
Well,
I think everybody has been saying. Chuck has been on about it all along.
Right. How to preserve the good case for the future was actually the concern I raised, but maybe I helped the discussion a bit.
Well, Olaf, Your point's important with regard to the base agreement in terms of this. But, again, coming from a non-attorney, okay, it doesn't seem to me that dealing with those kind of issues couldn't be handled in language in the base agreement. You're right, it would need to be dealt with so that some sort of a split up of the registry or something doesn't result in creating a situation that we tried to avoid. So understand that, but to me that's an easier problem for our attorneys to solve, and I think they can solve it, than it is the one we're trying to solve here. And then on a totally different note, I think, Aubrey, you're right. We got to be concerned about avoiding delays. It's a reality. I don't even think the board's going to be amenable to delays. It's, at the same time, we've identified an issue that needs to be dealt with. So why can't this kind of issue be dealt with in an expedited implementation sense, like we did some of the trademark community issues in the IRT and STI and stuff like that? Does that seem totally unfeasible?
Oh, well, this is obvious. That's what we're doing with BI. That's up to you guys
to pass the
prioritization thing to decide whether you can get it done or not. And I never know whether the council is actually able to do those without a board forcing function.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
I think, sorry, Chuck, please go ahead.
No, go ahead, Edmund. That's fine.
Okay. Well, just looking at the time, I don't think we'll solve the issue on this call, but I do want to talk a little bit about what next. What are the next steps? How do we take this forward? And I think the what is done in the VI is probably pretty good. It informs us well on what we might want to do here. I agree with not increasing any delays, and possible to me is to get the council to make a statement to the board about the issue and get staff to make the appropriate fixes with the minimal fixes to the current DAG as we try to figure out as we create a group to figure out a more long-term solution, if you will, for the issue. I don't know whether I'm making sense, but the point is, I think we need to, as soon as possible, make this note to the board and staff so that it could be addressed in the DAG as soon as possible. I do agree that it will take some time. I don't think it will take too long, though, but I could be wrong, to come up with some clear guidelines as to how to deal with this issue. Especially as Carrie mentioned, that once we have some direction from the synchronized IDNCCTLD, it actually might also inform this particular issue.
Edmund, with regard to the comparison to VI, I think there's one flaw in that. Number one, new GTLDs can go forward whether the VI working group comes up with any concrete recommendations in the near term or not. Hopefully they'll come up with some that can be. But if they don't, I think in the case of the issue we're talking about, we've identified a flaw that needs to be fixed. And therefore, in my opinion, warrants a special group form to do it. It still has to come back for comment, and the group can involve people from interested stakeholder groups and so forth. But I see it much more along the line of the STI and IRT groups that were formed to, I think I agree with you, Edmund. It's a little simpler than some of those, although not without complexities. On that approach, rather than a full-blown PDP.
This is Aubrey, if I can. I think it would be easy probably to get the council to make a statement saying we need extended evaluation to be enabled for this issue, for, you know, confusion, detrimental confusion, what have you. I think that might be easy. I think, you know, the other issue of what are the conditions and how to treat those conditions, et cetera, is a whole different kettle of fish that is I don't think, I'm not saying you shouldn't start a group to work on it, whether it's a PDP or not, a different issue. I don't think it resolves quickly.
I agree.
Getting a quick fix in for extended evaluation, that you can probably get agreement on fairly quickly at the council level. To go beyond that, it's just complicated. I think it's more complicated than anybody allowing for.
Well, if I take that, then what about getting a statement out that says at least it should be dealt with in the extended evaluation, and then also to form an urgent group implementation team sort of thing to address the issue, and if we can be fast enough, then it could be incorporated. If not, then it's next round.
Yeah, if I could on that statement just a little, that not that it should be dealt with, I think what I would recommend as a thing is that there should be extended valuation for issues of visual, for confusability, operating on the same principle as extended evaluation works for other topics. And if you want to list one or two examples from this as occasions on which that might occur, as opposed to presupposing that it will occur, and just sort of say what's missing is the extended evaluation for the confusingly similar, and that being the simplest change that doesn't get into anybody arguing. And then perhaps include a couple examples, but, you know, so people understand why you're asking, but not make this the cause of that. That's a problem in and of itself, I would think. But
let me ask Olaf a question. I haven't looked at extended evaluation in a long time, Olaf. Is extended evaluation as it's defined today, does it seem like an appropriate place to handle what we're talking about?
Let me put it like this, that from a process point of view, I think it would complicate things very much to make this kind of the kind of evaluation on the underlying the application would complicate the thing similarity review big time. So from that perspective, it's much more appropriate, I would say, to have it an extended evaluation. Well, which
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Are you saying?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm just saying that. It is much more complicated to do something, to add this kind of evaluation to what the string similarity panel should be doing.
Does what we're talking about fit in the extended evaluation model?
It would be sort of much more appropriate to have it in the extended evaluation,
okay.
to my mind. I mean, that's just from a process point of view. If it should be done, then it should probably be there.
That was good diplomatic secretariat type speak. I think it's wonderful.
Okay.
So that's what I was getting at. I mean, we don't necessarily have to say it needs to be an extended evaluation. I first of all wanted to get your sense, Olaf, of whether that it would fit there, because I haven't looked at that in a long time. And I didn't want to overly restrict ourselves saying it needs to be an extended evaluation. Maybe there's another way that's more efficient. But Edmund, doesn't it make sense to have see if someone can draft up a message to the council, and it needs to be the council on or before the 12th of May to be considered in the 20 May decision, and I think we really need to expedite it to make sure that happens. But if somebody can draft, hey, we've identified this area that needs fixing. We're not going to propose a solution, but we can propose some steps and maybe even include a possible motion that could be made in this regard for the next council meeting.
Something along the line, if I may say, that sort of keeps the string similarity review as it's done. It's sort of regarding the string per se, but there would be a way then to invoke attenuating circumstances that in this case it's not detrimental or whatever, because, and that would sort of be the possibility of having an extended evaluation. I'm just thinking aloud how this could possibly be made.
I can certainly volunteer. I've had my nose buried in Module 2 and Module 3 in terms of writing up my semi-literate treatise. So if you want, I could, you know, start out by putting a sentence or two on the list and see where people want to go with it. And since I'm taking the most protectionist view, you know, of people, that may also help. I don't know, but it's up to you guys if you want me to take a chance at casting a sentence out.
I
probably remember how to write. It's been a while since I've written a motion, but I could probably remember how to do that.
I'm okay with that.
That would be great.
Okay, so I'll try and take a crack on it in the next day, and I've got a couple other things I've got to do yet today, but I'll try to get it out before I sleep tonight, and at least the first draft of it, and see where it goes.
And Aubrey, even if you don't get to the motion in your first cut, that's probably not as
right.
critical. Once we come to agreement on what we're saying, it's probably easier to draft the motion.
Yep.
Okay, so one last question before we wrap. I think it's hugely constructive, this call. But is the anticipation really that, you know, we write this and then pass it back to council and this group would essentially dissolve and that motion would create some other group potentially? Is that a good way?
I think if the council decides that, yes, they agree and we should do more work like you're suggesting, and that could be part of the motion but not part of the statement that's sent to the staff or to the board, then this group might be the right place to continue arguing about, you know, how we set up a charter for such a working group.
Okay. All right.
And we can always open it up to more people, too, Edmund. It's not as if we're an exclusive group. So.
Absolutely, and I've been trying. Trust me.
I know.
It took me a lot to get a bunch of people in NTSG to start paying attention to it because it is so mind-numbingly esoteric that you have to be in it for a while before it makes any sense at all.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, I think we had a really constructive meeting, and we look forward to Avi's draft. Do we want to try to reconvene again, maybe in a week or so, and so we keep track of the progress? Because seems like and I fully accept the problems that I've created in slowing down the group because of my intermittent contribution. So I'd like to try to take this momentum and keep it at least until we deliver this to the council.
It
works. The same time works.
Next week's gonna be a tough one for me, but let me look. Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, there's an off chance that I may fly to Europe and be in an airplane, but I'm willing to bet I'm not flying to Europe next week.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Oh, in that case, why don't we do the same exercise then with Gisela helping us with the dual and get a call together? Hopefully Wednesday or Thursday, so about a week from now.
Edmund, let's see, we're talking about, actually, the just to let you know, the Registry Stakeholder Group conference call happens at this time.
All
next week, and
that's right.
It's a bad week for me because I'm trying to take off most of the week. So, but I just wanted to call out your attention.
Okay, so when did you say we need the motion to be or
the statement? The motion and our statement no later than the 12th of May.
So yeah, we don't really have a lot of time. So,
no.
Let's still try to meet sometime late next week, Thursday or Friday. Then, is that?
Let's try. We can do a doodle to see where
right.
we're at. Right.
Is Gisela still on the call?
Yes. Next Thursday or Friday, we'll try for a meeting.
Great. Sounds good. So, yeah, I think we're at the end of today's meeting, and look forward, as I mentioned, to Avery's draft and continued discussion on the list and next week.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Yep, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Take care.
Bye.